Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to take a look today here at the end of the week at the passage given to us in Mass today from Hebrews and then the teaching of Jesus from the Gospel. Here's the reading we've been looking at. You know, yesterday, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website, download the Renewal Ministries app, simplest way to access everything that we have. It's been a great week. There's just such rich readings that were given and celebrations, you know, the conversion of St. Paul, you know, remembering Titus and Timothy, Thomas Aquinas. I forgot to say yesterday in the program, one of the things I was going to say about St. Thomas Aquinas is he was writing the Summa Theologica, I think it was, he hadn't yet finished, and he was celebrating Mass, and he had a tremendous encounter with the Lord. And he had his own, you know, road to Damascus moment at some level. He clearly was totally converted by that time in his life. But God's grace, special grace was upon him and touched him, and he saw light. And he never finished that great work that he did. And he said, given what I've seen, you know, the work he was doing is all straw. It's like he was just overcome with the beauty and majesty of the Lord and the grace that was on him that he was given in the context of Mass there. I think it was at the end. I can't remember exact details around it, but God bless. Thank you, Lord, for the life and the work of St. Thomas Aquinas. But here, let's go into the Hebrews reading. Remember the days past when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a great contest of suffering. This is such helpful teaching. What the writer of Hebrews is reminding those he's writing to, that when you had been enlightened, that is what the light of Christ had shone into your heart, when the gospel was preached, and they came to life, they came to faith, and to baptism, repentance, and communion with God. He said, after you had been enlightened, after you'd come into the living light, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the light of the world. So when you came into the light, which is Christ, you endured a great contest of suffering. You endured a great contest of suffering. This really is the normal Christian life for a huge number of Christians throughout history, especially here in the early church, but by no means exclusive to that. And it's interesting that suffering is meant to be endured. And it's just standing. It's, you know, a friend of mine once said, I heard him give a talk, and he said, it's interesting, the battle that we fight as Christians is the only one that all we have to do is stand, is endure. Because the ultimate war has been won. And we have skirmishes and battles here, but we need to stand and endure through whatever trials come our way, and we will enter into the victory that's already been won in Jesus. The reading goes on. At times, you were publicly exposed to abuse and affliction. So that's part of the suffering. You were publicly exposed. In our day, more and more believers are beginning to be exposed. Now, we've been to China a few times, many times, but, and our teams have over the years. We know brothers and sisters who suffered, who've been abused, exposed, bishops, priests, lay people, churches bulldozed, people today, the 21st century, and since the Party Congress in China last October, they've locked down even more aggressively. And I don't understand why the reality of how the Chinese government is treating the church isn't made more public here in our country. It's a scandal, if you ask me. But of course, being in a relationship with China, we all know is important at a certain level, but also there's a lot of American money and a lot of American influence tied into China. And so it's many times really important things that China should be challenged about. They don't get challenged about because we have too much investment. It's unfortunate. We serve money instead of truth, maybe. It says, you even joined the sufferings of those in prison and you joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, knowing that you had a better and lasting possession. Now think about that. He's acknowledging the sufferings they endure, abuse, affliction, time in prison. And then you accepted joyfully the fact that they took your property. That happens in China. That happens at other places in the world. And how can anybody possibly be joyful about that? Because, as the writer says, knowing that you had a better and lasting possession. What do we possess? This is so crucial. The only way we can live through the circumstances that many, many disciples historically have lived through, and more opportunities are coming our way. We don't have to go look for them. They will come our way if we're standing clear in the teaching of Jesus and obeying him. We're going to experience opposition. Jesus said it. If you want to be my disciple, you need to think about this first before you follow me, because you're going to need to deny yourself, take up your cross to come after me. To take up the cross means to be ready to die for him. My life is no longer my own as a disciple. Jesus said the world will hate you because it hated me. This cuts right to the heart for so many of us, cuts to our flesh. We want to be recognized in this world. We want to be honored in this world. We want to be celebrated in this world. We want to be comfortable in this world. We want to be a somebody in the world. The flesh is always going after that stuff. No matter what, if it's a grand scale or a smaller scale, that temptation, that power is at work in the human heart. And so if that's where we are, to lose status, to be rejected, is like our worst nightmare. Or to have our money taken away, to have our possessions taken away. But here is a Christian mind. He's talking to disciples and he's honoring them. Because why? They were living with an eternal perspective. And like St. Paul, who we honored earlier this week, they understood that we know how to be abased and we know how to abound. We're happy when we're materially blessed and we're living in peace and the rest, we're happy to receive that. But if it all gets taken away from us unjustly because of our relationship with Jesus, because identifying with Jesus, so be it. Why? Because he's our treasure. He's the pearl of great price. We've sold the field, so to speak. You remember that parable Jesus taught? A man, there's a treasure hidden in a field. A man comes upon it, sees this amazing treasure. He takes the treasure, buries it, and then goes and sells everything he has, gets the money to buy the field so he can possess the treasure. Jesus is that treasure, and he's worth everything. Today, lots of people in the church have been baptized, have never laid eyes really on the treasure fully. They haven't come to terms with, they haven't come to that place where they saw the beauty, the majesty, the glory of Jesus, and given their lives to him and received the great gift of the forgiveness of sins and entering into his body. They haven't, as St. Peter says, enthroned him in their hearts yet, and they haven't bought the field. Now, the church assumes that people have done it. That's a big mistake. And so the church is always calling people to, you know, buy the field. That is like, get in the game. Come on, get with the church, get with their mission, take your place as a layperson, get activated. People aren't going to do it until they see the treasure. They're not going to buy the field until they see the value of the treasure. When Catholicism gets reduced to just another moral system where you have to check off certain duties and responsibilities, and it's not about radically encountering the person of Jesus Christ and loving him and living with him and living in the Holy Spirit and seeing the treasure. I mean, the saints saw it so deeply. St. Francis and his brothers would celebrate it all the time. They said, that's why they walked with nothing. They just walked away from all the treasures of the world. And then kings pursued them. Rich and powerful people wanted minutes with these guys to have what they had. And they said, they celebrated among themselves. And one of the brothers said one morning, after being out all night praying with Francis, he came back to where their other brothers were just rising on the day, and he started shouting. He said, brothers, brothers. You know, he started celebrating the treasure. He said, if the wealthy of the world could see the treasure that we possessed, and they asked us, how can we have that treasure? If we told them, in order to have this treasure, they had to carry a bag of cow manure around the city, you know, they would do it. They'd give up everything. They'd be willing to do anything to get it, the treasure that we possess in earthen vessels. The question is, when the church knows they possess that treasure, then we're radiant. We're filled with life and light. We're filled with joy and confidence. But there's too many people who don't know the treasure. They just are kind of, they're carrying around these burdens and realizing the duties. And duties are important, but you got to see the duties in context of the treasure that you receive and you possess. And they end up just in this constant trying to check off the boxes. And because their heart's not fully in it, they don't check up enough boxes. So you always kind of feel guilty, like you're not quite there. And you got one foot in, one foot out. That Jesus said that's lukewarmness. Makes him sick, and it actually makes us sick, but we just don't admit it. So the writer to Hebrews goes on and says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. He's acknowledging that they are so confident in Christ, they were able to endure all these things. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. It will have a great recompense. You need endurance to do the will of God and to receive what is promised. You need endurance to do the will of God and to receive what is promised. This is a call to us right now, friends, to our life, to our times. He goes on to say, we're not among those who draw back and perish, but among those who have faith and will possess life. Christianity is the gift of eternal life, but those who receive it are only those who live and walk in faith in Christ. That's radical abandonment of our lives and trust to him. So we can say like John the Apostle, he died that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and rose again. That's what we have to come to, friends. That's what faith is, coming to terms with my life is no longer my own. I'm living for him. I'm living through him. I'm living in him. The gospel today Jesus talks about a parable of the seed, the small seed, I think it is. Let's see what it says. Let's see what he says. It says, Jesus said to the crowds, this is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter a seed on the land and it would sleep and rise at night and day and the seed would sprout and grow and he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain to the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields a sickle at once for the harvest. He said, to what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use? It's like a mustard seed that when it is sown in the ground, it is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up, becomes the largest plant and puts forth large branches and that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade. It's like a small seed. It's hidden. It's a little bit like one of the parables Jesus says about the yeast in the dough. You don't see it, but it helps expand it. The kingdom of God is grown through the power of God, God's plan and God's purpose in history. And it grows, and it may not look powerful in the world, but it's going to grow, and it's going to be glorious. It's going to be his glorious bride at the end of history. And all the big glories and all the glitter of the world's going to just burn up. It's going to be nothing. It's going to get exposed, you know, the emptiness and the shallowness that it is. The lights are going to go out in Vegas, so to speak. But what will shine will be the bride, the glorious bride of Christ, because the glory of God is on her. The glory of God is in her. And we have an opportunity, friends, right now to respond in a total way to Jesus and trusting him and letting that light and that life be in us and let him grow whatever he wants to grow in us and be fixed on that. So with the few days we have on earth, we can give him glory and be part of that bride and make a contribution to it through his grace. Friends, let's wake up. Let's walk in the grace of St. Paul and St. Thomas Aquinas and all those we've talked about this week. Have a wonderful weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.